We've been going through the book of Luke for the whole entire year. We're finishing up. This week and next week are the last 2 weeks. And then I'll just give you a heads up in case some of you are deciding you're going to take a break next week, although we're still going to be here. So you could come and hang out. It'll be great. We could worship together right before the end of the year. But we're going to go through the book of Acts all the way into Easter. And so we're putting Luke and Acts together because, well, they were basically two books, same author, and they're a continuation of the story. It really should be the Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be looking at that. And so I invite you to do that. But as we finish this, we've been looking at the fact that God literally loves everybody. Everybody. And that's hard for us to put together in our mind because we don't love everybody. We don't necessarily love ourselves sometimes. We struggle to love God. We struggle to love those who are so unlovable, at least according to us. And so Jesus being life and being love is powerful for us. So I think somebody needs to know this today. I heard this really clearly as I was putting together this message. If you have your Bibles, you can open up all the way to Hebrews instead of Luke really quick. I'm going to get there. And it's Hebrews 13:8. And I don't know how many of you have heard this passage, how many of you have quoted this passage, how many of you have wondered if this is true, but Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, and wait for it, forever. You need to know that, right? I need to know that he's the same, that he's always God and he's always good. I don't know. I think personally my own conviction is that Jesus knew he was God, but he also was man, and so there had to be some kind of mystery and all that, but he was always God. And he's always good, and he's always powerful, and he was humble. And so I don't know who needs to know this and believe this today, but Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's here with you. He's Emmanuel. He's good. And so because he's the same, I love this idea, and Pastor John was the one that came up with it, the Holy Ghost of Christmas, and I kind of switched it up a little bit, present, past, and future. So present, and at the end we'll talk about how he's his past, present, and future, but just the passage that we have in the book of Luke, so you can join me there, Luke 24, 36 through 37, and like I said, Pastor Daniel came in and snuck in and did an amazing job. Are you on this glorious adventure, this unfolding with Jesus, or are you just kind of like, ah, yeah, I follow God. I don't really know if he cares about me. I don't know if he's there. I don't know if I care. If I'm just being honest, TBH, I'm not really sure it matters, but it does. Yeah, somebody said, oh my gosh, because I'm 50 almost and said TBH. It means to be honest. If you've got a text problem, you know what TBH is. All right. It's probably way like 3 years ago, but you know, I do what I can. Yeah. Nailed it. All right. So anyways, Luke 24, 36 through 37. And this is where we got thinking about ghosts of Christmas. As they were talking about these things, and you might remember from last week's message, there was these guys walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus pops in. They don't know it's him. He's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, what do you mean? Are you the only dude who just showed up to Jerusalem? We're talking about Jesus. He was this prophet. He was powerful and strong. Then he got killed. And what's more is on the third day, he said he was going to rise. And our people said, well, some of our people, they're women. We weren't really sure if they were honest because, well, they're women. And so we just kind of put them off. Like a lot of people do, don't sleep on that, by the way, because God is not just loving dudes. Women, you are made in his image. You're powerful. You're wonderful. You're majestic. And dudes, you are too. But so, look, they said that they saw Jesus risen from the dead, and then some of the dudes from our company showed up at the tomb and found out, gosh, he's not there, so we're just kind of tripping. And then Jesus unpacks all of the scripture that they had at that point that pointed to him. He says that all of this Bible that you've read and known points to me. But he's not saying me. He says points to the Son of Man. And then He's getting ready to walk past. Well, thanks for the talk. And they're like, no, no, come and hang out with us. And he went in and he broke bread with them. Like we just had like the Passover. And they're like, boom. Now their minds were open. And they're like, oh, that's Jesus. And they're tripping. And then all of a sudden, boop, he's gone. Like, where'd he go? And so there's that. And they go back and they tell all their guys, look, it's true. He rose from the dead. Amen. That's a good woohoo. Let's go. Luke 24, 36 is where we pick this story up. As they were talking about these things, all that stuff I just talked about, Jesus himself stood among them. Boo-koo. Right? I'm back. And said to them, peace to you. Now, why would you have to say peace to everybody? I mean, it's a nice greeting. That's shalom. How you doing? Peace. One with God. No. They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. They're like, it's Jesus, but he died and now he's here. And we started thinking about all the different ways that ghosts are a part of Christmas. So this one, it's the most wonderful time of the year. No, I'm not going to go all Andy Williams on you, but I am going to say this. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting. And caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. What? That's like, there's a child shivering in the cold. Let's bring him silver and gold. Bring that dude a blanket. What do you mean silver and gold? Spend some of your money and get us a fleece or something. Some of these things just don't make sense, right? And so I started looking into this a few years ago, like, what's the whole ghost story? Back in Victorian Christmas, Dickens and Christmas Carol and all that, they would tell these stories about ghosts, but not just the, although they would do that, kind of Halloween-ish, right, on Christmas. But they would also be talking about their past and some of the ghosts from that, some of the people from that, some of the problems from that, some of the joy from that. And they would talk about their present and some of the joy and the pain from that. And then they would talk about their future and some of the fears and the joy and the pain that they have thinking about the future. And there would be these ghosts. And there would be scary ghost stories, which just doesn't make a ton of sense. Until you start thinking about that many of us got a lot of hang-ups with stuff and with people. And they're like ghosts. I'm going to tell you right now, from a Bible standpoint, theology and doctrine, any ghost outside of the Holy Spirit is demonic. It's just demonic. It's appointed once a person to die and then the judgment, but many of us have had ghost experiences. You are being messed with. There is one Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Pneuma, life, one. Everything else is trying to be like him or to take your attention off of him. And so with that, let's look at the very present nature of the Holy Spirit. We'll go back to Luke 24, go 38 through 43. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Boy, just let that sit for a second. He's asking them that, but could he be asking you? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Gosh, I came for a Christmas message, Aaron. Wait. See my hands and my feet. That it's I myself. I mean, look, I had been pierced. It's right here. Take a look. It's me. I'm very present with you right now. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, I mean, come on now. Disbelief for joy. They can't even believe themselves what is happening right in front of them. And they're so filled with joy. What is happening? it's more glorious than this. They're just like, it really is him. We can't believe what our eyes are seeing, and yet it's happening right in front of us. Jesus loves you. I know, but how? He died for you. He rose from the dead. As we're going to see next week, he ascended. And because he ascended, he sent his spirit so we could have the comforter, the teacher, God, live inside of us. How has he done anything for me lately, Aaron? Because that stuff's fine, but no, he's present. Actually, right now, Emmanuel, God with us. In your junk, in your joy, in your treasure and in your trash, he's right here. Merry Christmas. That's good news. And I love this. As they're tripping on this, like, what? Marveling, he says, you got anything here to eat? I've been dead for a few days. Make a brother hungry, right? I mean, I need a little something to eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. This is just a real amazing expression of God in the present. Like, yes, I'm God. I'm all majestic. I'm right here. Look, I paid for you, and I'm hungry. Give me a little something to eat. God-man, Theoanthropos, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, sacrificial King. And he took it, and he ate before them. Sweet. That's pretty powerful. This Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost of Christmas is also present in what happened in the past. And so look, he unpacks a little bit of their story right then and there. Go to verse 44. And he says to them, after he eats a little bit, and this is my brain a little bit. He's so human and so majestic and king. I don't know, he's like cleaning his teeth out. He's like, let me tell you a little something. And then here it goes. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. This is the second time now that he said to a group of people, start with those two, and now he's getting to all the disciples that were assembled. He's like, everything must be fulfilled about me that was written in the Bible. And what the Bible they had from them was like Genesis to Malachi. They had prophets, they had Psalms, and they had the five books from Moses. So he's unpacking it for him. He's like, look, I told you that this must be fulfilled. He literally is saying to them, hey friends, it's all about me. Then he opened their minds. Holy Spirit, as I prayed this morning over and over, I pray right now in Jesus' righteous name that you would open our minds to your scriptures and how they apply in our life today. In your name, amen. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is so good. Look, I'm telling you about all the stuff that happened, that had to happen. I'm right here with you. Let me unpack this for you. And he opens their minds. And then he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day, rise from the dead. Bad stuff's gonna happen, but joy comes in the morning. It isn't always gonna be this way. Who needs to hear that this morning? That it isn't always pain and agony and trauma and drama. Who needs to hear that it isn't always boring? Who needs to hear that it isn't always pink slips and being let go from a relationship as well? Who needs to hear that it isn't always going to be riches and feeling so amazing, but God is always going to be with me? And so the future. He's also present in the future. So he says, look, it's written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And then verse 47, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. repentance. Look, you should tell people in my name that they can repent. They can have a new start. They can turn around. They can be made new, and they can be forgiven. That's what he came for. He's past, present, future. He's present in all of these things. He did know what you were going through, and we asked them, why didn't you stop it? I don't have a satisfactory answer for you, other than there's free will, and all of us have screwed that up. Some of us is a little more acceptable than others as far as our culture is concerned. And Jesus is like, look, just because you screwed it all up, doesn't that's not what I want to leave you in. That's not where I want you to stay. That's not what I came for, was for you to stay in the dark. The light came into the darkness, and the darkness didn't really want it. But he kept shining anyways. Hallelujah for that. And he says, look, don't just keep this to yourself. It's for all nations. Because as we talked about, Jesus is for who? Everybody. Erwin. All over the place. Beginning from Jerusalem. And start where you're at and then go from there. You are witnesses of these things. He's reminding them. Look, I've been present. You've seen all this stuff. You've seen the good stuff. So you've witnessed this. Now do something about it. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. You know, we're really going to get into that a bunch in the next few weeks, that power from on high. But let me unpack it just a tiny bit for you. Because he's the future. At this point for them, Jesus was present. He reminded them of their past. He said in the future, I'm sending you somebody. I'm going to give you power from on high. That's the Holy Spirit. And so we'll go to John 14, 26. Really quick, he's preaching to his people. This is before he had died. And he says in verse 25, actually, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. We need to be reminded, right? When we get together, some of us regularly worshiping corporately and hearing teaching and being a part of teaching and taking communion. And we are remembering and we're being reminded. And some of us are like, nah. Some of us wait for somebody to remind us, and God's like, oh, you know what? I didn't just want Jim to do it. I gave my spirit to everybody who would have me. And you can remember. God will bring stuff to your mind. I was just telling my friend, he was on my mind all day yesterday, and I waited till today to tell him. Do something with what you remember. Hear this, because God sent his Son. And when his Son ascended into heaven, like we're going to read next week, he did so because he wanted to send his Spirit to live inside of us. Jesus said it like this in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, which is so rad. I think you've heard me say this before. I love it when Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Does he tell you anything else? All right, this one's true, right? I mean, no, he's always telling the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, maybe he's just reminding them over and over again, when I speak, yo, it's the truth. So hear this. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I think he says, I'm telling you the truth, because what he's about to say is hard to take. It's like, oh, gosh. You're leaving? We're just getting the band rolling here, man. He rises from the dead. That's like, okay, yep, now we've got some victory going here. Let's go, Jay. And for 40 days, that's how it was. But he's like, look, if I stay, it's just me right in front of you. But if I go, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and is through you. And he's going to remind you of what I said. So friends, Jesus is life. Always. So I'll go back to past, present, and future for you. He came here as a baby, lived, and died. That was the past. The present is that he rose from the dead, ascended, and gave his spirit. In the future, he's coming back. And he's going to make it all perfect. And we're like, could you just make it perfect now? He's perfecting it now. He's making you holy in him. But you got to repent if you're far from him. You got to recognize that he's God. And you got to know that even when he shows up and then is gone, right? You're like, gosh, where did Jesus go? Because I was really feeling him last week. And now I don't know. He's gone, I guess. He's never left. We just don't see him as clearly some days. So trust that he's past, present, future. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. Get in groups. Remind each other. Look, some friends of ours gave us a bunch of unopened puzzles. Go out there, grab some, take some home. Now, it's a dangerous proposition for me to open up anything with pieces in it. Just if it was just me, it would be dangerous, but I have a lot of people in my life. But some of you can really sit down and do puzzles with somebody. Others of you are like, give me an ice pick. I'd hate that, right? But some of you can do that and really enjoy it. My dad does it, and then puts them on the wall. I'm like, wow, good for you, Rick. So proud of you. That looks like it was tough. But I mean, you can slow down and be together, and you can talk about things together, and you can remind each other that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And then you can look around for that lost piece and go, doggone it, I want to throw the whole thing in the garbage. It doesn't even count. Gosh, I keep spitting. Merry Christmas. But I've got this just one little piece, and it's missing. And would you take that as a reminder that right here, right now, it isn't all done. There's still more to do. And Jesus is the same through all of it. Merry Christmas to you. He loves you. Will you love him back? I'm not kidding about those puzzles, though. Go get some. I know I sold them real well just now, but and please don't forget just a little something. Just say to people, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. Silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I give to you. It's this bag. It's kind of Bible jokes. All right, let's. My wife, I can hear her voice right now. You are all over the map. Yes, I am. Jesus, you are so present and so always the same. God, you're not boring. You're not somebody who is just too wonderful to know. You're too wonderful to know everything about, but you've made yourself known and you continue to do that. Holy Spirit, I know that today there's people that are here because this is their time to come back and be a part of church for this season and maybe even the Easter season and maybe if something else major is going on. I pray, Lord, that today would be a day where they recommit, rededicate, maybe come to you for the first time. Holy Spirit, that they would know that you are with them because Jesus ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God, his Father, and has sent his Spirit to live in us and through us and to give us power from on high. That we would be able to remember your truth and live it out in the hard times and the good times and the in-between times. God, thank you that this time of year is so wonderful for so many people. I want to thank you that you're so present for the people where it's not so wonderful and it's painful. And they remember lost loved ones. They remember lost love. They remember all kinds of things. God, I pray that those memories would be set straight with the fact that you have been with them always and you haven't forgotten them. You will not take free will away from us, but you also will not be quiet You are God and no one else is. So may we humble ourselves. May we worship you. May we bless you. In Jesus' righteous name, amen.